This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Children's Health Education and Health News channels. We're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with both Heather Miranda Miller and Amy Wilhelm, better known as Social Scouts Los Angeles. Heather and Amy are pediatric speech and language pathologists who specialize in working with children who have difficulties with speech, language, and social communication. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Eric.
Yes, thanks, Eric, for having us.
And you're both more than welcome. So for starters, Heather, if you would, as a pediatric speech and language pathologist, what age children do you specialize in and what are some of the issues that you deal with in the children that you treat?
Sure. Well, at our clinic, we specialize in treating children as young as 18 months to about 10 years old with varying diagnoses. So there's a myriad of needs that we see, such as young children who are not talking, children who have trouble pronouncing speech sounds, and children who need help understanding and using language to communicate. So these children may have trouble formulating sentences and questions. They may struggle with recalling events or telling stories. They even have difficulty sometimes with the rules of grammar. We also have children on our caseload who have hearing impairments, and we help them communicate through sign language and gestures. But, you know, many of the children we work with have difficulties with executive functions, and executive functioning is what helps us organize and manage our thoughts and plan, monitor, and perform tasks in a sequential order. So, you know, there's a reason that we don't, dry our hands before we put the soap on, because things have an order and they need to go in order to make sense. So the kids with poor executive functions, they need help thinking about and putting things in order. So we do that. And a large majority of our kiddos have difficulty socializing and understanding the world around them. So they don't read or understand social cues, such as a hand gesture that suggests someone saying, come here. You know, for these kids without the words, the gesture doesn't have meaning because they are relying only on the words and they're not interpreting the meaning of that gesture. So these kids tend to maybe talk all about their own preferred topics, and they can't seem to attend when it's someone else's turn or if that other person is talking about a non-preferred topic. These kiddos also tend to play alone because they have a really hard time keeping up with other children and following along with their play ideas. So we work with these children in individual and group settings to teach them the strategies and the language necessary to help them navigate their very overwhelming social world. And that's kind of the gamut of what we do.
And Amy, what exactly is the difference between speech and language?
Well, as speech pathologists, we actually get asked this all the time. So we're going to make it simple here. Speech refers to the sounds that we produce. It's the sounds that make up the words that we speak. So an easy way to understand this is that speech is how we produce, for example, our S sound or our L sound or our R sound and so on. And then when it comes to language, there's actually two types. There's receptive language and there's expressive language. So receptive language is what we hear and what we understand. And we do this by interpreting others' gestures, by understanding the words in the sentences that we hear, by reading facial expressions or body language, and it's also in understanding what we read. And then there's expressive language. And this expressive language is what we use to express or communicate ourselves to others. So this would be the words and sentences that we say. It could be the gestures, the facial expressions, and the body language that we use. And it's also how we express ourselves when we write.
Heather, from your experience, when would a parent come to see you and why, and when should a parent become concerned if their child is not talking?
Okay, well, that's a great question. And I'll say that, you know, parents most often come to see us when their pediatrician has made the referral for speech therapy, and that's typically because the child is not yet talking. We also receive a lot of referrals from preschool teachers, and because they feel that the child is not communicating or playing at the level of their peers. And we even get calls from parents just who are concerned because their child is struggling socially. And you ask when a parent should become concerned, and we have a rule of thumb. And that is that for the little guys, if by the age of two, they're not putting two words together to talk about things and ask for things, then the parents should really contact their pediatrician and ask for a referral for a speech and language evaluation. But we also want to mention that, you know, if a child is speaking but is not following directions, they're not establishing eye contact, or they're not responding to his or her name when called, that this is a red flag. And the absence of these skills may indicate the need for speech and language intervention. And, you know, we just want to say that, like, for parents that may be listening, you know, if your intuition tells you that something is wrong, you need to advocate for your child and pursue an evaluation, because you shouldn't wait. Really, you know, early intervention is key.
Today we are with both Heather Miranda Miller and Amy Wilhelm, better known as Social Scouts Los Angeles, here on eHealth Radio's Children's Health, Education, and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, what if a child has a lot of language but doesn't use it with other kids?
Okay, Eric. Well, this is what we refer to as a social language impairment, and we actually see a lot of this in our clinic. So children with social challenges struggle when they're engaging with their peers, and they also have difficulties interpreting and reading social situations. As Heather mentioned earlier, these kiddos are not interpreting others' hand gestures or their facial expressions or even the tone of voice that's being used. So along with the message itself, all of these additional interpretations are needed to fully figure out the meaning. And when these kids can't figure out the meaning of the message, it makes it so hard for them to relate to others. It makes it difficult for them to effectively communicate their thoughts and ideas, whether it be in conversation or in play. And it makes it really tough for them to problem solve within these social situations. So if your child is having difficulty establishing friendships or maintaining friendships, we strongly recommend a referral to a speech language pathologist for further evaluation. Maybe a social skills group or a play group would help.
And speaking of play groups, Heather, what role does play have in language development?
Well, play has an extremely important role in language development, and it actually begins the moment a child is born. So through play, a child learns speech and language by watching, by listening, and by imitating. Children begin to engage and interact with the world around them, and it's important for parents and caregivers to foster these skills. So with infants, you know, we play a lot of baby games with them. So let's take peekaboo, for example. When you play peekaboo, not only is this teaching object permanent to the baby, but your baby's watching your facial expressions and your hand movements. The baby's listening to your intonation and your words. And when you say peek-ah, they start to anticipate the boo. So the more you play this game, the more your baby will try to imitate the sounds and movements, and this is setting the foundation for back and forth interactions. As a toddler, then children begin to imitate life through play. So they pretend to take care of the baby doll, just like mommy or daddy takes care of them. And they're imitating actions such as feeding, hugging, and covering the baby with a blanket. So they begin to use sounds and words and talk about what they're doing. So when they're feeding the baby the bottle, they're saying, or num, num, num. And when they're putting the baby to bed, they might be saying night, night, and so on. And then as children get older, they now have this bank of ideas from all that they've observed at home and in the world around them. And so they begin to pull from all these ideas and engage in much more creative play scenarios, taking on different roles of people in their family or in their community. And they're using lots of language now to communicate their ideas with others. So such as like, hey, you want to play restaurants? And then they keep using that language to carry out the roles, sharing their ideas and moving through their play plan. So I'll be the server. Here's a menu. Can I take your order? So play and language get more and more sophisticated and more creative as children get older. And that back and forth play, that now translates to back and forth conversation. So to kind of summarize it all up, you know, play is critical. Not only does it foster language development, but it really also nurtures the development of social skills. And, you know, here we teach through play every day, both in our individual therapy sessions and in our social skills groups.
Also, Amy, what are social skills groups? Get into that a little more in detail.
Sure. Yes. Well, social skills groups are typically small groups of children who have difficulty making friends or easily engaging into a group situation. So at our clinic here, we call our social skills groups social scouts. So the goal of social scouts is to help these children become more aware of their surroundings and more aware of social situations. We do this through play, through puppetry, books, videos, and even role-playing. And we're always striving to enhance not only social language skills, but also those very important imaginary and dramatic play skills. We encourage our kiddos to think about others' words and facial expressions and their body language, as well as the context or the environment that they're in, and then take all this information, put it all together, in order to understand one's overall intentions. It's a lot to take in all at once, and so kids who struggle with this are overwhelmed all the time. So we work on all of this to help them engage in collaborative play scenarios, which then leads them to having conversations with their peers in this supported and safe environment. So again, Eric, you can see how play is just so important to help children develop language and social skills.
It certainly does make a lot of sense. Ladies, I also understand that you have a book coming out, in fact, a series of books for kids. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Oh my gosh, we'd love to, because this is a project we are really, really excited about. So we're trying to bring back imaginary play in a world that's really heading in a more technological direction. I mean, it's no secret that children are not occupying their free time more and more with iPads, tablets, video games, phones, and they're not out playing like when we were growing up. And we've even seen in preschool and kindergarten classrooms a decrease in free play opportunities, and it's actually being replaced with structured tabletop academic activities. And, you know, from our perspective, kiddos are missing out on those important foundational building blocks that are needed to develop those social skills that we've been discussing here with you today. So we've actually created a series of 10 books intended to stimulate language and stimulate imagination for both children and their parents by getting back to the basics. Our books are meant to help all kids explore imaginary roles for meaningful play, no matter what their learning style may be. And the beauty of these books, Eric, is that not only can they be read at home, but they can also be used within a classroom or a therapeutic session because they're designed to be a multisensory and interactive learning adventure. And we feel that with these books, we found a way to bridge together both academics and play. These books target vocabulary skills, concept development, literacy, and so much more, all through play. So given what you've heard us say throughout this entire talk about the importance of play, you can see why there's a huge need for this right now.
Well, Heather and Amy, we certainly have appreciated your time and certainly also appreciate all that you're doing in this space and for joining us and bringing focus to this in all regards. Thanks for all the information shared as well. Where can our listeners get information accordingly and how can they be in touch?
Sure. Well, you know, they can visit our website at www.socialscoutsla.com, and they can contact us through that. We have lots of information, and we really hope that we can come back to see you once that first book comes out, Eric.
And I think that would be fabulous, and let's start planning on that right now. Ladies, we certainly have appreciated your time, and thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Certainly look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Eric. Thanks so much.
And you're both more than welcome. We have been speaking with both Heather Miranda Miller and Amy Wilhelm, better known as Social Scouts Los Angeles. And for more information and for contact, simply visit socialscoutsla.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Children's Health Education and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit ehealthradionetwork.com.